Well, we come now to consider God's Word, which we've read here in 1 Samuel, chapter 28, the first two verses, and then all of chapter 29 and 30. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 15, we're told that the way of the unfaithful, or the way of transgressors, is hard. The way of the unfaithful is hard. The way of transgressors is hard. Life is hard for those who go against God and His ways. There are many people today who are ripping up the scriptures and the ways of God, and they're going their own ways. And many of them are sinking deep in depression, because the way of the transgressor is hard. Many people are committing suicide because they've gone their own way in life, and the way of the transgressor is hard. And sometimes God's people, in our foolishness, we go the wrong ways, and we go our way rather than God's way. And it looks as if it's an easier way that we've chosen for ourselves. But the reality is different. The way that's really hard in life is the way in which God is absent. When you're on your own, that's when life's hard. When God's with you, you can cope with all the hard things that come your way. Well, that was David's experience. When instead of remaining in the land of Judah, where he had moved from one place to another and he had been protected by many different people that are mentioned here at the end of chapter 30. Instead, he had fled to the land of the Philistines, and he had taken refuge among the Philistines for 16 months. And he had tried to justify what he had done by making raids and attacks upon the enemies of God's people. And he told the Philistines that it was the enemies of the Philistines that he had been attacking. He had been living a life of pretense for 16 months, and eventually it caught up on him. Eventually the day came when all his pretending came to a moment of crisis. And yet that day actually proved to be a good thing for David. It was that day of crisis that in the end served to bring him back to being where God wanted him to be, rather than where seemed sensible in his eyes to be. And in these closing chapters of 1 Samuel, we see things getting worse for David. We then see things really hitting rock bottom, but then we find him beginning to rise again. So we think first of all today about David sinking in his sin. The chickens really came home to roost for David when the Philistines decided that they were going to gather all their forces and launch an attack against Israel. And Achish, king of Gath, said to David that, "David, you must come with us in this battle. You must go with the Philistines as we fight against the Israelites." Well, what was David going to do in that situation? He found himself trapped by his own web of deceit. He couldn't go and fight against the Israelites. He couldn't go and fight against the Lord's people. How could he do that? But how could he tell Achish, the king of the Philistines, that he couldn't go with them into battle? Couldn't do that either. And so he played for time. And here in chapter 28, verse 2, David says something that could mean whatever someone wanted it to mean. David says to King Achish, "Surely you know what your servant can do." Well, he wasn't saying he would do one thing or another. He just put those words out, and Achish took his good meaning out of them. He heard what he wanted to hear, and he says, "Well, David, I'm going to make you one of my chief guardians forever." And so this is a position that David is found in, that Achish has set David there as one of his leading men. And it's going to be David's job to go and fight with the Philistines against his own people, the Israelites. So David was in big, big trouble. If he went to battle with the Philistines, how would God's people ever accept David as their king if he had fought against them? How could he be their king? And if he refused to go and fight against the Israelites, well, how could he escape with his life from the Philistines? And this was the dilemma that he faced. And these were all problems of his own making. It wasn't God's idea for David to have been there for the last 16 months among the Philistines. That was David's idea. That was his compromise. That was his unfaithfulness, his transgression. It had been hard for David, fleeing from Saul day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. But now he knew what hard really was. And he would never have been in this situation if he hadn't strayed from the commands of God. But for 16 months, he had been there among the Philistines in order to escape from Saul. And he had silenced every protest of his conscience. His conscience would have been telling him, "David, this is not really where you're supposed to be." But he kept on in his life of pretending. He couldn't ask for God's help in all of that because he knew he wasn't where God wanted him to be. David had been unfaithful to his God. But we find that God is not unfaithful to David. Here, David is in this hopeless situation. He can't go one way and he can't go the other way. But God is faithful to David in the midst of this. And we're told in the New Testament, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 13, that if we are faithless, he will remain faithful. For he cannot disown himself. And David found God to be faithful. And if you're a Christian, then you're someone who is united with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will be faithful to you. And God was faithful to David. David, in his unfaithfulness, found that the Lord was faithful. And God comes wonderfully to David's rescue. And he does so by working in the hearts of the other Philistine kings. And he directs the thoughts and the fears of these Philistine kings. And God directs them all in the way that he wants their thoughts to flow. And they become concerned about this Israelite David that is among their armies, and his fighting men that are there among the armies of the Philistines. And they're afraid, what will happen if David changes sides in the midst of the battle? And they think this is just not wise at all. We shouldn't be doing this. And they think there's nothing that will get David back into the good books of Saul more than David to be seen to be attacking the Philistines. And so God plants these great fears in the hearts of these earthly rulers. And that should give us hope for the kind of days that we live in. We live in days where there are great political threats to the cause of Christ's kingdom in our nation. But our God is able to put fears in the hearts of politicians. And God is able to turn them so that they don't do what they want to do because they have a fear of what the consequences might be. Well, God might not do that, but he can do that. And he did it among these Philistine rulers. And it's comical to see the way that Achish, the king of Gath, this Philistine king, he comes to David and he's all full of apologies. And he sees this as a terrible thing that he has to send David away from the armies of the Philistines. And David plays his part so well, he acts out as the man, he's all offended. Well, what have I done to not be allowed to go into this battle? And of course, inwardly, his heart is delighting that God has rescued him, that he's been sent away from the battle that he couldn't possibly have gone into and survived. And so David is rescued by God from the predicament that his own foolishness had got himself into. God wonderfully delivers his servant David here in the verses of 1 Samuel chapter 29. God knows how to deliver his own. We know how to get ourselves into real messy situations in life, but God knows how to deliver us. However, that was not the end of things for David. That didn't solve his problem. He was still going back to living a false life among the Philistines. That's not what God intended for David. And so in the second place, in chapter 30, we see David's life hitting rock bottom. When he and his men return to the town of Ziklag, where they've lived for these last 16 months, out of that city they did all their raids, they find carnage. The town has been raided, it has been burned, and there's no one there. Everything is lost. They've lost their wives, they've lost their children, they've lost their homes. It's all gone. And there's no one there to tell them what the story is. A truly devastating discovery for David. He must have felt a huge sense of relief at how God had delivered him. And then he finds that things are even worse than he thought they were, because he's lost everything. And David's men are in great distress, and all of them, were told, they wept aloud until they had no more strength left to weep. And then the men turn against David, their leader. And in verse 6, we're told that David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. David himself had lost everything. He had lost his wives and his children, his possessions. And now he had lost the support of his men. And he was desperately alone. David was experiencing the downside of being a leader. All the blame was being placed upon him. He was the one who was being held accountable for what had happened to all of his men, all of their wives, and all of their children. It was hard. It must have been hard for David to imagine anything worse than what he was then facing. And his men had a point. It was the decision of David to go among the Philistines. That was his decision. And his decision had cost them everything. And this is rock bottom for David. But But then there comes a turning point. What does David do in this situation? Well, at the end of verse 6, we're told, "But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God." God had allowed David to go his own way, to do his own thing, follow his own wisdom, and he had allowed David to reap the consequences of all of that. But David was still a true believer. And so, when things are really bad, David turns to his Father in heaven. And he strengthens himself, or he finds strength in the Lord his God. In the midst of his own utter weakness, he looks to where he knows there is strength. And after 16 months of disobedience, doing his own thing, David is able to turn to God. And God is still there. And God hears him. And David finds strength in God. What a great God is the God of David. Look at God's wonderful mercy and grace in how he deals with his servant David. What a merciful God, what a long-suffering God is the God of the Scriptures. For the first time in 16 months, David asks God, "What should I do here?" And God doesn't say, "Well, David, maybe come back to me in 16 months' time and we'll talk about this. Haven't heard much from you in the last 16 months, David. I haven't heard you looking for my counsel, my direction. And now you're in the mess. Now you come to me." Well, God doesn't say that. David receives an encouraging response from the Lord. God reassures him that he should go after those who have raided the town of Ziklag. God says to pursue them. Verse 8, God says, "Do it, and you will overtake them, and you will have success." And so David, his life, through this great disaster, his life has been turned around. And now, once again, he's going in the right direction because he's going in God's direction. David has turned the corner. A great change takes place through all of these terrible events. And David's heading the right way again. So we have David hitting rock bottom. And at rock bottom, someone who is truly the Lord's turns to the Lord. Then the third place, I want to speak about David rising again. God promises David success here in verse 8 of chapter 30. But soon David finds that a third of his men are too exhausted to do what God has told them that they need to do. But even though he's down to 400 men instead of 600, David continues the pursuit, and God gives him just the very thing that he needs. They come across a discarded Egyptian servant, a servant who had taken sick. He had been among this raiding party. He had raided Ziklag, but he had taken sick. And his master had just left him to die in the wilderness. Thought, "He's no use to me. I'll just leave him here." Left him without anything. And he was found by David's men. He was given some food and drink. And he was able to lead David to where the raiders, the Amalekite raiders, had gone to. And David and his men find them. And they go into battle, and they are victorious, and they're able to recover everything that had been lost. Verse 18 says that David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken away. Verse 19 says that nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. That was a wonderful way in which God dealt with them. God had done what he said he would do. And David has once again earned the respect of his men. They're not anymore talking about stoning him to death. David has tasted the grace of God. And it wasn't long before he needed to show that grace of God in his dealings with his men. Some of the 400 that had gone on in the pursuit and fought the battle, they didn't want to share the plunder with the 200 that had been exhausted and couldn't go any further. But David would have none of it. And he says, "No, my brothers, you mustn't think that way. You mustn't act that way. God has been with us. God has protected us. And we will share. We will all share in the victory." David saw that the way things had worked out, this was God's doing. And when God had been so gracious to them, well, then they needed to be gracious to one another. And so it is that when God's people receive the grace of God, well, then the right thing is for us in turn to be gracious unto other people. Not to think they should only get what they deserve, but to be like God, who delights in giving what we don't deserve at all. And then at the end of chapter 30, we find that David sends some of this plunder that he has recovered. He sends it off to the elders of Judah and to the various different places where he had received help, where he had received shelter while he was on the run from King Saul. And at the very time when all of this was happening in David's life, at that very time, God was dealing with King Saul. God was dealing with King Saul, who for all these years had been trying to kill David. And the Philistines had gone into battle against the Israelites, and Saul was killed in that battle. And so what an amazing turnaround in events that there was for David within the space of just a few days. What great things God did for David so quickly after David returned to obeying the Lord. From the utter depths of despair, thinking that he had lost everything, and his men had lost everything, and he had lost his men, and what future was there? From there, the way was now open for David to become the king over God's people. Saul was dead. And David had been anointed as the king who would replace Saul. Whoa, what a sequence of events you have God bringing about in just a few days. And surely that working of God should be something that should always give us hope in life. Hope for us in our own lives, hope for our church, hope for our nation. David was a man who had gone badly astray. And he was just keeping on going and going the wrong way. Going the wrong way about everything. And yet God brought him back. And God brought him to repentance. And God was ready to bless him. God was there for David. The moment David cried out to him, God was there. No probation period for David. No waiting was required. God was the God who answered his prayers. Straight away, God answers his prayers. Does that not give you hope for yourself as a sinner or for other sinners that you would love to see turning to the Lord? David turned to the Lord and everything changed straight away. God delights in working quickly in the lives of those who turn to him. Things can seem hopeless for a long time. David was on the run for many years, and it didn't look as if things were getting better. Things were getting worse, and then it all changed. All changed in a few days. And such is the God of the Scriptures. He can do so much in such a short time. The next few months will be important months for Northern Ireland. There could be great changes ahead. There could be things that will happen within our land that will bring the wrath of God upon us. We might become a land that is calling out for the judgment of God upon us because of the ungodly laws that will be passed regarding our part of the United Kingdom. And we need to do what David does in this time. We need to find strength in the Lord our God, because there is strength in the Lord our God. And we need to put our trust in him. We mustn't put our trust in men, but we must put our trust in the Lord. We need to draw near to him. We need to seek his face, and he will draw near to his people. When things were at their very darkest for David, that was when deliverance came. That was when there was a new dawn and a whole new direction. And it was just around the corner when things seemed to be so bleak. Well, this is the God of the Scriptures. This is the God who does wonderful things. This is the God who hears the cries of the helpless and the powerless and those who seem doomed by their circumstances. God heard, God answered, and everything changed in the kingdom of Israel. Amen.